Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, we got Sue's News coming up here in just a minute. Do you need to share any traffic information, though, as we get started?
Yeah, we still have a major accident blocking lanes on northbound 270 north of Dorset. This was an accident. They must have been going at a higher rate of speed than one should, but we've got an overturned vehicle. It was smoking, and the fire appears to be out, but only the right lane is getting by on northbound 270, and it's really jammed.
All right, be careful out there, people. It is nice and sunny, and it's not too bad with the temperatures. Dave Murray's forecast saying we're getting a little break here in the next couple of days. I'm kind of pissed. I know you guys won't be, but you know what the temperature, the high temperature here Friday is going to be?
Seven.
Must
about
be 50.
58.
Yes!
You know what the temperature in Las Vegas will be when I get there?
48?
58. Pretty much the same thing.
Oh, pretty much the same thing.
And they're getting down this weekend. I've been there during the winter plenty of times, but it's down to freezing, like 32, 33. That's a bit of a shock to the system out there.
Well,
should they all
empathy,
have
Sue.
Do
I
they
want
all
empathy.
Have furnaces?
Oh, huh. Yes, there's furnaces involved. Yeah, they have heaters. Yeah.
Well, that's a decent question. That place
it gets cold.
It's the desert.
Right, but it gets cold at night in the winter. All right, I have three topics here pre-Sue's News. The first involves delicious oatmeal cookies.
Oh, God.
Which are out in the producer room there.
Oh, I forgot to send the recipe
to Becky.
Yeah. Darn it. All right, sorry about that.
She told me yesterday, she scolded me because she said, didn't you hear Sue say that she had a recipe? You just ignored her, you big mouth, loud
that
talker.
That also happened. That
happens sometimes. Yeah. The host recognizes that. So I was scolded by my wife last night. But the cookies, I finally, and again, I realize that the most important thing on the show is people wanting to know how my cookies went the night before.
Yes, for sure.
But I had not nailed the oatmeal raisin, and I did it this time. I think it's really good.
I had one last hour. They're really good.
Thank you, Fred. Then, I'm just telling you, I know some people, it's not their thing, but I had the most awesome slow-mo Olympic caliber moves video of Oreo this morning that I put on Twitter, at Mark Reardon KFTK. Rabbits do these binky things when they're happy, and this one was amazing. He looked like he was snowboarding or something in air. It's so entertaining. Fred, you can vouch for that as well.
It was amazing.
It's really good. And we decided, I think we're going to show, we're going to put an Instagram account.
Very limber.
He is.
Very limber,
just look at when you watch the video, look at his ears in particular. So when you see this one, it is
all right, I'll take
Hall
a look.
And Mark does them in slow motion.
Yeah, so they're really good in slow-mo. Well, he moves too fast if you don't do slow-mo.
He's
but
a rabbit.
We're going to create an Instagram account for Oreo, I think.
That's a good idea because, frankly, he's your favorite thing.
I think so.
Yeah, it's like cookie baking, Oreo, everybody else.
The stream has a great view of this right now. I'm showing it on the stream right now, and you can see Oreo jumping.
You got him in
all
his pause,
over the place.
In his moment where he's paused, though. You gotta
Wait,
start
I have
from
to look
the
at
beginning.
The stream to see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back to that later. But Ethan, I wanted you in here because I wanted to talk about an update on this Philadelphia fan. This poor guy. Well, I don't think he's a poor guy because I think he should be banned. So what happened was is that the Packers-Eagles game on Sunday in Philadelphia, there was a woman who had Packers gear on next to her, I think, boyfriend or husband. And the boyfriend is recording some of this, and there's an Eagles fan in the row above her that is just berating her and drops the C word on her a couple of times, which I think is, I mean, there's things that cross the line and that cross the line. So the guy captures it. Barstool and a lot of the other sites out there blast this out there. I tweeted it basically saying this is revolting. Find this guy. Well, they found him. Of course, you're going to find the guy. So the guy's name is Ryan Caldwell, and he's in a little bit of trouble right now. BCT Partners is described as a DEI-focused management consulting firm based in East Brunswick, New Jersey. They know where this guy works. The company says he's in even more trouble because of the company. It says they aim to harness the power of diversity, insights, and innovation to transform lives, accelerate equity, and create lasting change, and drop C-words on young women watching football games.
The irony.
Apparently. So the company said the management of BCT Partners has been made aware of a video involving an employee. BCT Partners denounces this type of behavior. We take this matter very seriously. I don't know if he's going to lose his job, but the Eagles have said that he's not going to be allowed back into the stadium. How do they really do that, though, right?
Yeah, how do you do that?
It's the same way that the guys that back during the World Series, the guys that tried to take the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove, you know, like they got banned from every MLB stadium for life.
How do they know it's them?
You put a hat on and some sunglasses and you walk in.
It's going to be, I mean, I'm sure that their cards are going to be recognized and their names, like when buying tickets. I'm sure that any time that they try to, they'll be automatically refunded. And I'm sure there will be some sort of, with the technology that ballparks have today, face ID of some sort.
Doesn't City Field have like facial ID, facial recognition?
Well, I know that the casinos in Las Vegas do, because if you're banned from a casino, they're going to pick you up on the facial recognition. You're probably not going to get in. But this is just so disgusting. I know that people give, you know, I've been in sports situations where I'm a fan that is in a stadium where, you know, you're one of the only people that's a fan of the opposing team,
right,
and vice versa. I give, you know, other fans trouble. I think that's part of going to see live sports, but this crosses a severe line. And, you know, one of the things that I think people reacted to yesterday is how in the world the boyfriend didn't, you know, whoop up on this guy. He basically said he wanted no part in a physical altercation.
Exactly.
He said it was a tough situation surrounded by hostile people, including two of his buddies. If I got physical there, there was no good ending.
And he's right. That was actually a smart reaction.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But at the very least, look, how about an apology? It's just not, how can anyone think that guy has daughters or sisters or a mom or anything that type of behavior is acceptable?
This is also this is not even the first time that something like this has happened this year. Now, the first one was much more extreme, but I believe it was a Ravens fan after a game walked up to a rival team's fan on the streets right after the game and just socked him from behind.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
And he fell to the ground, knocked him out.
Well, that's a crime.
Like I said, that's a level a bit more extreme, but he ended up, you know, social media did what they do. They found him. He lost his job. I believe he got charged. So it just goes to show that social media will get you now.
In this situation, there's no crime that was committed. He had all the freedom in the world to say what he wanted to say, right? But guess what? There's consequences for your actions. And if you're going to get caught on video and you're going to go viral for that, well, then you should have to live with that and what you said and what you did. So consequences will be coming for that guy in Philadelphia. It is Philadelphia, though. Their fans suck.
Shocker.
Right?
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Did you know this? I didn't, and I saw it this morning. 73 years ago today, that's in 1952, Fred, NBC's Today Show premiered. The Today Show is 73 years old.
No.
Here's the part, I didn't know that, but I didn't know this either. It was created by Sigourney Weaver's dad.
Huh.
What?
That's wild.
That's a random fact.
Totally.
Right there.
But I just threw it in there because, okay, I think you will be able to tell by this music what show debuted 53 years ago today.
Let me just say this before I hit it. When I saw, because I'm privy to see what's in the audio file, and I haven't mentioned it yet, but I've been excited for the last hour and 15 minutes, I got to tell you.
Wrong one.
Oh, no, because I was excited about this one.
That's next. Oh. You got to put that down.
All right, Wilhelm.
All right,
you didn't hear that.
Nothing happened.
Sue, I'm very excited about this one, too.
Oh, yeah.
I do like...
Come on!
It's the big one!
That's right. Sanford and Son. Sanford and Son.
Anything, Ethan?
Nada.
Oh,
this was such a legendary show. It really was.
Listen to this. How are you not liking?
It's not quite as good as the Bionic Woman theme is better for me, but yeah, great theme song.
Okay, can you not say the answers to what's next?
I didn't know what was next.
Oh,
how did I know that?
Well, now we do.
You said, well, okay, but there were two themes in there. I was going 50-50, and I chose the wrong one.
Yeah,
I was more excited about the Bionic Woman.
Well, you can't tell.
Lindsay Wagner.
That was 49 years ago. In 1976, the original Bionic Woman premiered. It was on ABC.
Oh, yeah.
But this isn't really a theme song. I called it. It's more like...
It's more like music from the...
You know, she has to...
It's the bionic sounds, if you will, right?
She goes through trauma, you understand. That's why she had to have a bionic eye, a couple legs, and an
arm.
They
rebuilt her. Bigger,
yeah, they did.
Stronger, and faster as well.
And they show video.
When Sue sent
this intro.
When Sue sent this to me this morning, she put in parentheses by the link. Not a song.
don't you think that by this time, like when we're watching that show back in the 1970s, you thought, hey, there's going to be bionic people in the future, right?
Yes, and it never happened. They have video in the entry while you're seeing the image you're seeing while you're hearing that music, and it's her running really fast on a treadmill. It's it's not impressive. It didn't really hold up, but boy, we loved it when we had three channels, did we not?
They've never made a movie out of the Bionic Woman, have they? They did didn't they do the Bionic Man thing?
Well,
the Lee Majors thing? Or is that something else? That was the Fall Guy.
Bionic Woman spun out of the $6
million
Man.
No, I know that. Oh. I know. But did they ever do... I'm confusing it with the Fall Guy, because that was Lee Majors,
right?
And they did the movie. They've never done a movie, the Bionic, the $6 million Man, have they?
I don't think so.
I don't think they did.
I don't think so.
And by the way, in today's... dollars, that would be like the $600 million man, right?
Right. It's not the same. It's National Shop for Travel Day. Do you still need one more person for your Greece trip? That's why I bring this up.
We have an extra cabin, so I have two more cabins for the Greece trip.
More cabins.
DefinedDestinations.com or go to the top of my Twitter site at Mark Reardon KFTK. We're going to Greece in April and May.
As of this morning, the Palisades fire, we've got more information as far as how much has burned, and I'm bringing it up just because it's stunning. Palisades fire has burned over 23,000 acres. The Eaton fire, 14,000 acres. The Horseshoe fire, over 4,500 acres. And another fire, the Hearst fire, at 799 acres.
Jeez.
It's just outrageous.
The good news is, and we're going to get John Ziegler to update us, the red flag warnings are out. The winds are really kicking up, but there's more evacuation orders. However, I think the fires are somewhat under control, which is, which is good right now. But look, this is far from over, but these crews are doing amazing work right now. They really are.
Yeah, they really are.
The way you geared it kind of yesterday, Mark, I thought that it was about to get almost double in damage just from the winds picking up yesterday. So the fact that we're not hearing about more catastrophe than we've already had is, really is a good thing. It's a godsend, honestly.
Well, and it's, something, it's not going to be as catastrophic as last week because there's more preparation. But these winds are tricky. And, think about living out there. This evacuation zone is relatively sizable. And if you got to go, you got to go. You leave your house. You don't know if you're ever going to see it again.
Oh, geez. I've just got a couple of side stories. More and more comes out. For instance, Tom Brady has reportedly hired private security to protect his $20 million L.A. mansion from looters. Because looters, of course, the problem now. And the FBI is seeing about 20 to 30 drones a day. Now, these things, people are getting up there and flying them, trying to get great shots of what's happening. The unfortunate thing is, at least one has collided with a firefighting plane, and it's really causing issues. It downed the plane.
Yeah,
so they're really trying to watch out.
I think that plane has now been repaired and is supposed to be back in service, but that was a terrible thing because I think they only had two of those.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's not great. Okay, Timothy Chalamet is going to host Saturday Night Live on January 25th, and he's going to be his own musical guest. No word if he'll be singing Bob Dylan, but of course he's been getting rave reviews for that. Did you like? Who saw it? Was it somebody in here?
I liked
Mark?
It quite a bit. Yeah, I thought it was you good. Who did. And I'm not, you know, the biggest Bob Dylan guy, but I thought it was well done, and I thought he was excellent. And see, the whole thing with that movie is you got to buy into the music, and the music for me worked. He was playing the music live. You know, they didn't even dub it in. James Mangold took the takes of Timothée Chalamet when he
that's
was just playing
cool.
them on the sets. Yeah, I thought it was cool.
That's the best way to do that. But much more important than that is the week before he takes the stage, Chappelle will host. And we do love Dave Chappelle. So he'll be on SNL before that.
I have some high hopes for Chalamet, too. One, because obviously he's made his name well-known in the actor's world. But a few weeks ago, it was probably a month ago, he was on College Game Day. He was the guest picker. And he really impressed himself among some of the sports analysts. He was perfect in his picks. And a lot of people on social media were really impressed with his work. So hopefully he has the comedy skills to match this as well.
Wait, who is this that did so?
Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, he really?
Yeah.
See, he would have been a guy I would have never thought that was a guy that had any kind of in-depth
knowledge of football. He went like 7 for 7 in the picks. I mean, then some of these were like the early, it was rivalry week. That's what it was. And these were even like the smaller rivalries. And he was like throwing out all these stats. He clearly did his prep. And all the guys, Herb Street and all these guys are like, who is this guy?
You know, there's one of the guys that Dave Klein's a fan of Eric Church as well. But Eric Church is a big college football guy. And he's gone on Game Day and done the same thing. I was like, blown me away with his knowledge of football.
It's awesome.
That's fun.
It's always cool when somebody steps up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Fred found this story. Arby's is trying to help its customers keep their New Year's resolutions just in name. For this week, the fast food chain is launching its New Year's Same You. New Year's Same You menu. And it's renaming some of its classic offerings as healthy alternatives. Small curly fries is listed as steamed vegetables. And the double beef and cheddar is a salad with dressing. I'm not sure how beef is a salad with dressing, but okay. And they say that the new menu will take the pressure off those held accountable by family and friends for keeping their goals. So, Ethan, feel free to go to Arby's this week.
So, you know what's funny? And I don't know.
Yeah, there is some kind of shaming involved.
Well, is there?
Yeah. Order something bad.
That
you know
is funny.
I literally remember the last time I went to Arby's. And I'll tell you when it was. In the aftermath of 9/11 in 2001, I went to Durango, Colorado with a bunch of law enforcement folks from Milwaukee and went on an elk hunting trip and mule deer, and it was fantastic. But on the way, and I think it was like in Nebraska or somewhere in Colorado, we went to Arby's. And it was, I don't know why this sticks out. I don't know that it was particularly something I loved that day, but it was the last time I was ever at Arby's.
Even though
they have the beef.
They do.
I've not been back. Or the meats or
we
something
have
like that.
They have
right.
the meats.
I don't think I've ever been.
Wow.
Well, that's me too.
But in your defense, you have grown up in Lion's Choice Country.
Exactly.
And there is nothing better.
There was an Arby's in my hometown growing up, and there was not a Lion's Choice. It was just, I don't know.
Interesting. Eh. Lion's Choice or nothing. That's what I say.
I'm on Team Sue on that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And finally, in Sue's news, we have today's random fact. Okay. The first Super Bowl was carried by both CBS and NBC because of their TV contracts. It was on two networks. No other Super Bowl has been on more than one network. Just the very first one.
Boy, that would
before
never
they
happen
figured
today.
It out. Can you imagine that happening
today?
That
would never happen today.
We fight over streaming. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it will be on different platforms owned by the network, but it will not be,
right.
Exactly. Because they do the Nickelodeon thing and stuff like that. There you go. There's Sue's news for a Tuesday afternoon edition. Our friend Charles Lipson, Professor Emeritus from the University of Chicago, is coming up next.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, we like to, every once in a while, pull some of the nut jobs that are up there that libs of TikTok likes to highlight. I mean, some of these people are just legit crazy out there. We know that.
Go ahead, MAGA. Admit it. When you see California burning, you're like, yeah. You know why I know that? Because every time I hear a hurricane's coming or a big-ass tornado, I always say, please, please, let it only hit the white trailer courts.
Good.
And
right,
especially the ones with the Dixie flag. So, yeah. At least I'm not afraid to admit it.
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there are people out there, but I don't know anyone in my circle, my world, who is cheering on the devastation that they've seen in Pacific Palisades or other parts of California. I don't know anyone personally that's cheering on devastation from any of these natural disasters, except there's one group of people, wacky lefties like that, because they do it all the time. They root for Trump to be assassinated, and they go online and they're very proud to think about this. These are the loving, caring people. That's a person that wants, I guarantee you, she wants diversity, and she's an alphabet mafia person. But all of her compassion stops at the door when it comes to someone who might have a different opinion of her politically, right?
Yeah.
It's disgusting, but that's why we like to expose some of these people from time to time. Our friend Charles Lipson is back with us. He is Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago. Happy New Year, Charles. How are you?
I'm doing good. When I listened to that, beyond my disgust, which I completely share with
right.
you, I had one other thought, which I think is a very common thing. It's neither left nor right. I think a lot of people assume that other people's views are a mirror of their own. She said the reason she knows that MAGA people wanted LA to burn was that she wants trailer parks
right.
to be destroyed. So they must have the same kind of views about things that they hate that she does. There's no reason for her to believe that. But I think that's very common. And I'll give you an example of where that kind of thing can lead to just huge problems. The United States, certainly under George W. Bush, thought that the whole world wants freedom. And they want it so much that when we invade Iraq, they will want to set up a democracy. Because we would. So we mirror our own views onto other societies. Sometimes that's accurate. Often it's not.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of truth to that. You and I are going to talk about the fires here. I have my friend John Ziegler coming up here after the top of the hour, and he's the host of the Death of Journalism podcast. I think you'd rather like it quite a bit, Charles, because he highlights some of the things out there that are media malfeasance topics on a regular basis. And he's an LA guy, so he's got some great insight into the leadership failures. And you've written about the leadership failures. I don't know. Let me ask this question, because John's got some thoughts on this, too. Does this completely put the nail in the coffin of Gavin Newsom trying to be a presidential candidate, or can he recover?
No, he can't recover. He can buy all the Brill cream he wants for his hair, but he's done.
I think he's done too. I really do. But you know, we've said that about
Karen
people.
Bass is done. I don't know whether she'll be recalled. I don't know whether Newsom will be recalled. But I don't see how they rise to higher positions. And let me just say, in terms of these attacks and people saying nasty things, I wrote this piece, which you've referred to. People can get my pieces at charleslipson.com. They're all free. You can sign up. I'm happy to send them to you. And the piece is called "When Is a Fire an Earthquake?" And the answer is when it opens a gaping hole under failed politicians and their policies. Well, I've been attacked for that by saying, why aren't you just spending all your time sympathizing for the victims? And the answer is, I do sympathize for the victims, but a lot of their suffering was unnecessary. I was reminded of an old joke about the Soviet Union, that Soviet agriculture suffered from four big problems: winter, spring, summer, and fall.
Yeah.
And L.A. suffers from Santa Ana winds, and it's got a very dry climate through a lot of the years. It's not as if any of this stuff came out of the blue. It's not a once in a hundred year. It's a once in a hundred year fire, but it's not a once in a hundred year event that the Santa Ana winds blow and that the environment is kindling.
Well, to your point, so when I have my friend John Ziegler come on, when I was listening to his podcast, he kind of made the analogy between, you know, Hurricane Katrina, because there again, you know, you're going to get big hurricanes, but they were so ill-prepared down in New Orleans and Louisiana for something of that caliber that that's why the devastation was so severe. In this particular case, again, you know, you're going to have unusual circumstances, but my goodness, you pointed out, Charles, you got a guy who's the governor with his Brooklyn, whose priority in Sacramento was to Trump-proof his state, not to fireproof Los Angeles, but to Trump-proof his state. That's the number one priority.
They got a special session of the legislature in session now, Trump-proofing the legislature. And they spent all this time trying to save one small fish. They spill billions and billions of gallons of water that's desperately needed in Southern California into the Pacific to save this fish. It's not as if saving one endangered species is not a good thing, but there's a limit to the kind of cost that people can be asked to pay. And the citizens of California pay very high taxes, so they have a right to expect very good services, and they've gotten terrible services.
You wonder if this is, you know, I think it might be a turning point. You're seeing some celebrities be a little brave in their criticism of Democrats out there. So I wonder if this is a bit of a turning point, because this Rick Caruso guy who ran against Karen Bass has been getting a lot of publicity and making the points that some of the stuff he's pointed out in the past. So I think you're right about Karen Bass. She is toast. There's no doubt about that. And she's still not offering a lot of answers to people out there. I've been watching and listening to a lot of the local media coverage, and they're giving Newsom a bit of a break, I think, but not Karen Bass right now.
Have you seen that woman who's, by the way, all the people at the top of the LA Fire Department rose through the ranks of being emergency medical technicians? None of them were firefighters. They were EMTs. And
I don't think I knew that.
No, this is a big problem. I mean, after the Israeli war in Lebanon in 2006, I believe it was, one of the things that was noticed was that all the heads of the military were from the Air Force. There was nobody who had been an on-the-ground type fighter. And you need a mix of people with various experiences. But the woman who's paid $300,000 a year to head the DEI department did a video. Have you seen this video?
I have, yeah.
Oh, God! She says, and nobody's asking her a hard question, she says this voluntarily. Well, people say, you know, maybe some women firefighters couldn't lift out a heavy person out of a burning building. And her response is, well, maybe that person shouldn't have been there.
Yeah, I played the audio last week. That was one of my audio cuts of the day. And I actually had to listen to that one a few times. And when I played it to Sue, I'm like, this is actually real. She actually said this, which is kind of stunning. But
well, look, I mean, you know, the point is and I thought, Hegseth, I didn't watch all the hearings today. I have a life. But they were asking him about women in combat. And his point, if I understood it correctly, was he has no objection to women in combat. But the standards, including, I guess, the physical standards for performance, will have to be the same for everyone. I mean, they should be essential standards. You can't have a job placement for radio announcers that ask you to do calculus It's not part of your job. But you can ask people who are firefighters, can they lift a heavy hose that's full of water?
Yeah, seems like a legitimate question. By the way, on the DEI front, it was one of our United States senators on this committee, Eric Schmidt, that was posing some of these DEI questions.
For those watching at home, DEI is not about giving everybody opportunity. It is rooted in cultural Marxism. The idea that you pit the room, any room, with oppressor versus oppressed. It's race essentialism, and it is poison. It has no business whatsoever in our military. I think the American people have spoken loudly and clearly about this. They're tired of this. They're tired of woke ideology. And to my Democrat colleagues on the other side, if you haven't picked up on that, you missed the plot. Because that's what November 5th partially was about.
Yeah, even John Fetterman sort of gets that at this point. But that's Senator Schmidt this morning at that hearing, and they went on to offer
He was right.
Yeah, and he went on to offer with Pete some examples of some of the stuff that's gone on.
Let me give you my my take is basically the same, but it has one twist. Especially having grown up in the South as I did, I thought that it was unfair. In 1967 or 1972, to ask people who had been condemned not just to segregation but to poor schooling and a whole lifetime of discrimination to compete on 11 and say, well, now it's a level playing field, everybody should compete. But we are 50 plus years past that, and so that should have been a sunset. And yet it hasn't been. And I'll tell you where it's really dreadfully apparent is in medical schools, especially UCLA. You have airlines that want to do this for pilots. These are life and death. There should be merit-based and merit-based only.
You know, look, they need to, and I think so there's shifting of some of this, but one of the things that I always point to is I played this audio, I don't know, maybe it was even 2 years ago, of a graduating class for the medical school at the University of Minnesota, and they were all forced in the ceremony to basically say a woke pledge of allegiance to all this diversity, blah, blah, blah. And what I said at the time, Charles, is I bet a good portion of the people, maybe even 80% of the people in that room, had no interest in spitting out that blah, 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 but they knew they had to in order to, you know, take the next step in their career.
Right.
I do hope that some of this stuff is being exposed in ways, especially in higher education, that's going to taper off. However, it's still the woke that run these academic institutions. Mr. Lipson is a rarity at the University of Chicago. Hey, Charles.
You stopped selling that to your audience 24/7, yeah. You know?
Hey, I got to go. We got to get to a break, but thank you, Charles. Always great. Take care. All right, after the top of the hour, my friend John Ziegler, the co-host of the Death of Journalism podcast, good friend of the show. He's out in L.A. He's got some very interesting analysis and thoughts about some of the blame game that's going on with the fires. Also, there's this issue, you know, Steve Bannon is all hacked off at Elon Musk, hates him, says he's evil. So you got a guy that's very close to Trump criticizing another guy that's very close to Trump. And a lot of this has to do with the H-1B visa situation for immigrants. And Mark Krikorian, who is with the Center for Immigration Policy, is going to join us a little later in the 5 o'clock hour with some information about that. So we played some of this earlier. Tim Kaine questioning Pete Hegseth at this hearing today.
I assume that in each of your weddings, you've pledged to be faithful to your wife. You've taken an oath to do that, haven't you?
Senator, as I've acknowledged to everyone in this committee, not a perfect person.
Yeah, so highlighting that in the past.
Did you ever engage in any acts of physical violence against any of your wives?
Senator, absolutely not.
He talked about this.
You cheated on the mother of that child less than 2 months after that daughter was born, didn't you?
Those were false charges.
Well,
it was fully investigated, and I was completely cleared. And
talked about alcohol.
Return to the incident that you referenced a minute ago that occurred in Monterey, California in October 2017. At that time, you were still married to your second wife, correct?
So this goes on and on and on. Much of what you saw and heard today was rather disgusting. Bill DeAgostino is with us. He's with the Media Research Center's Newsbusters. They do a great job of exposing a lot of this stuff out there. What did you think of that hearing this morning? How are you this afternoon, Bill?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. Look, I thought that the hearing went about as well as it could have for Hegseth. I mean, there's going to be people on the right who are basically always going to say the hearing went well, and there's going to be people on the left who, I mean, God, there are people on the left who will still insist that that Biden won that debate against Trump, right? So,
well, that's true. That's a good point.
Barring those opinions, I think that anybody with a clear mind who kind of looked at this hearing has to conclude that it was pretty much a home run for Hegseth. He handled the Democratic senators as close to flawlessly as he could have, I think, given all the circumstances and some of the tougher questions. And he completely swatted down the idiotic questions, which there was actually a surprising amount of.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate take. Look, I can certainly call balls and strikes, and this was in the infancy of this nomination, one that I didn't think was going to make it, the way that the media was piling on. The LA Times went real quick out of the door, and then you had some op-eds, et cetera. But he did hold his own today, and you had, I mean, the screeching from, I'll be accused of being misogynistic here, Bill, but the screeching from Elizabeth Warren and Mazie Hirono and some of the others on these committees was just utterly disgusting. And I think that the Republicans came in very prepared to offer, for example, for those people who didn't hear it, if there was testimony or if Mazie Hirono, someone like that, said something, the Republican committee member would come on and say, okay, we're going to enter this into the file, a letter that has been written on behalf of Pete Hegseth from somebody that basically throws cold water onto all of their theories with abuse, et cetera. So, you know, I think he did do very well today, and he's likely to get the vote and survive.
I think so, but I think it's also kind of important to recall the context of this confirmation, which is that of all of the Republican senators, I believe 50 in 2020, only two voted against the current defense secretary, right? And so if any of these Republican senators who voted either voted for Lloyd Austin or were among the four or five, I think it was, that just didn't vote at all, then they owe a pretty good explanation for why Lloyd Austin was okay, but Pete Hegseth is not, especially after this confirmation hearing.
So that is that's a very interesting point. I was unaware of that. I like that.
Yeah. Only two actually voted against Lloyd Austin. It was Josh Hawley and Mike Lee, which, you know, when you hear those names, you're like, yeah, okay, that tracks, right?
Yes, we know one of them pretty well here in Missouri. Yeah.
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 No, good guys, those two. Good guys, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, also, you mentioned a bit of the media pylon on Hegseth. We actually did a study on that, and we found that when Kash Patel was announced as a nominee, basically all of the media heat went on to Patel for a single evening until a bunch of these Republican senators indicated that they actually weren't super opposed to Patel. And when that happened, they immediately pivoted back to hammering Hegseth, and Hegseth basically took up almost all of the broadcast network coverage of the cabinet nominees until some of the senators who were holdouts started signaling that they might actually be willing to support Hegseth, and then coverage of him basically ceased. And so the story that pattern of coverage tells is basically that the media smelled blood in the water with Hegseth, and they were trying to sink his nomination because they felt like it was the one that they had the best chance of sinking, right? It's completely calculated and cynical the way that they handle this stuff. And so now after this hearing, I think that we're probably going to stop, even on cable, hearing as much about Hegseth because it seems like he's kind of got it in the bag at this point.
Yeah, I think you call that one exactly right. Hey, I know that you guys at Media Research Center Newsbusters have been tweeting out. I talked about this case a little earlier. We did cover it last week. Do you have any gut check on how the big defamation case against CNN is going right now?
Yeah, our very own Nick Fondacaro is actually down there right now covering it live. He's been doing some pretty exceptional reporting
great
on this
work.
since the very beginning of the case. He's been tracking it pretty hard. But, it's not going spectacularly for them. There have been several witnesses who have made sworn statements either in depositions or in court that then the defendant's lawyer will produce an email or a document of some sort that seems to contradict what they're saying. One of the more notable cases that happened this week is they played a recording of Jake Tapper's deposition where he says, you know, I don't even look at ratings. I don't care about ratings. That's not something that really affects how my judgment or how I think about things at all. And of course, everybody immediately produced like several tweets from him talking about CNN in the Nielsen ratings and specifically like the 29 to 54, whatever it is, demographic. So look, I mean, is that an overly material inconsistency? No, it's not. But that's that does a lot to hurt his credibility in this case. And Tapper is one of the two I guess you could say primary co-defendants, although that's not really the legal term for it. But he is one of the two sore issues for the defendant. For the plaintiff.
And I played, this is Michael Conte. I played this. This was from a deposition. I think this might have got played in court today. This is a producer for CNN.
There's a photograph on the screen. Do you understand that to be Zachary Young?
I understand that to be Zachary Young.
Do you think he has a punchable face?
Yeah.
So why do you think that?
Probably the smirk and the sunglasses.
So the question was, does he have a punchable face? Because there are text messages where that kid is
right.
On the record saying that. But the way that that came off in that deposition, he was laughing. He was joking. He didn't take it seriously at all. I mean,
right.
I'm rooting for the plaintiff maybe more than ever in this particular one, hoping CNN gets slammed again.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, for anybody confused why he would say that in a deposition, I think that he's trying to remain consistent with some of the text messages that he knew that they were privy to. But his whole demeanor. Right. Yeah. Your point taken there. Absolutely. His whole demeanor is completely odious. And I think that it very much would bias.
Yeah.
A jury.
And look, if I'm watching that testimony and I see that smirk, they're talking about, young smirk. I see the smirk on that kid. I'm going to vote for the plaintiff and for a lot of money. Hey, Bill, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And by the way, Nick is doing an amazing job. Follow him on Twitter. Fonda Kara is doing a great job covering that trial. But Bill, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me
care.
On. Have a good one.
John Ziegler from L.A. coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.